Apostle John, when he writes about Jesus standing as one of Jesus' closest followers, closest friends, he says Jesus was the Word of God, that perfect revelation and wisdom of God that come from heaven into human history. He says of Jesus at the very beginning of his own gospel, the telling of Jesus' life, he says, Jesus is the light that shines in the midst of the darkness, and that the darkness has not overcome it. As he describes Jesus, he even says that Jesus surpasses Moses, that great teacher of Israel, because not only is he a great teacher, but he's actually the Son who comes, the one and only Son who is himself God and is in closest relationship with God. And when we hear these kind of words from John, we understand just how highly John thinks about Jesus, and we understand exactly who we're dealing with when we come to the gospel stories. Jesus' timelessness, Jesus' wisdom, Jesus' purity, and Jesus' divinity. Now, if we never encountered the story of Jesus before, when we come to hear it, we would be struck by the fact that in the middle of all those words about Jesus, those exalted and lofty words, John says something else nestled in the midst of all those words about Jesus. He says this in John 1:14, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory." The lofty one comes into our midst, John says, and this is how we see the glory of God. Certainly, it would be a slight surprise to hear this in the middle of it, but that's nothing compared to what comes next if you'd never read the story of Jesus and you come to everything that we're celebrating today as John tells how Jesus was brutally executed by human hands. And as we've heard that unfold from another one of those early Jesus followers, Matthew, as he gives his record of Jesus' life, we understand just how painful and just how extreme, how intense were those hours of Jesus as he went to the cross. It's that litany of human brokenness and suffering as Jesus in isolation in the garden suffers alone, even as his closest friends fall asleep just a stone's throw away. It's that sense of Jesus being alone as he's betrayed by one of his own closest followers, Judas, the one he trusted with the money, who comes and betrays him with a kiss. It's Jesus arrested by the temple guards in the middle of the night with no clear accusation. It's Jesus gathered by the religious authorities who stand for God and his presence as they give him a law trial that is bent to their own aims and not to anything close to justice. It's that same experience we see in him as he begins to see his closest friend, perhaps, Simon Peter, utterly reject him and say he doesn't even know who Jesus is. It's that moment of isolation as Jesus' life is exchanged for the life of a brutal murderer, as the crowds cry out for Jesus Barsabbas instead of Barabbas, instead of Jesus himself. It's that moment of isolation as Jesus finds himself mocked in a humiliating fashion by those Roman guards as a trumped up king, complete with a robe and a staff and a crown of thorns pushed down upon his head. It's that moment as the cynical voices cry out from the hillsides of Jerusalem as Jesus' body is heaved up on a cross where he will slowly die of asphyxiation or heart failure or some other form of shock over the course of several hours. Jesus finds himself thrown into the midst of all this brokenness, and you may wonder if you've never heard the story of Jesus before, how could this be the story of the Word of God that John talks about at the beginning of his record? How could this be the experience of that timeless, pure, all-wise, divine being? Why would Jesus find his way into the midst of the throbbing heart of human brokenness? God seems too good for that. We hear so many different stories about divine beings from different religions or mythology, and they seem to coast above the human pain and brokenness, but not so here. It seems like this is just ugly and demeaning. Isn't it shocking? Almost captivating at the same time, what's happening, that Jesus finds himself in the same place that we live, the place of bruises, the place of broken bones and cracked dreams, the place of deflated spirits where the hope has been pushed out, the place where shattered trust has led to ruptured relationships, just like Jesus, the place of the long loneliness and lost loves and friendships, the place where homelands are carved up by self-willed authorities and refugees scurry for shelter like prey that's filled with fear. The place where chronic diseases racks our bodies and terror-filled attacks strike when we least expect it. Isn't it surprising that Jesus finds himself right in the middle of that place where we're left shaking our heads sometimes in the midst of the world wondering what exactly is going on? Isn't it shocking that when the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us and when we've seen his glory, it's right at the crossroads of right where we live in the midst of human brokenness where we wade through every single day. There, right there, in the journey to the cross, Jesus brings into perhaps the sharpest focus of any event of human history just how truly broken and lost we are as human beings. He brings in the sharpest focus just how much we need something that we cannot attain, given to us by someone other than ourselves. Jesus brings in a sharp focus there at the cross, unmasking how deep run the veins of evil and darkness and sin in the hard rock of human life. And we stand staring at what's happening to Jesus like gawkers at a roadside accident, too overwhelmed to look away and too captivated to turn aside. I remember once when I was weaving my way through the old city of Jerusalem with some friends of ours, Marshall and Terry Plant, who many of you know, and as we dodged tourist groups and turned the corners of the old city, finally arrived at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which is that traditional spot of Jesus' death and burial there in the old city of Jerusalem. People gather in the middle of that place, crowds of people, to cry, to kneel, to kiss certain stones, to step back and to reflect on everything that's happening. They light candles and they pause to consider Jesus. People from Brazil and from Poland, people from Canada and from New Zealand, people from Nigeria and other parts of the Middle East, and even a few people from Milwaukee, all facing together to consider Jesus at the cross. It's a sight for eyes that's just, it's hard to take in and it's definitely hard to describe. And as I stood there watching and participating in the middle of what was happening, I had to stop for a moment and say, this is something to celebrate? A murdered Messiah. This is either the most ridiculous thing that's ever happened, or this is the crux of human experience right here. And as I was thinking that question outside the church, a choir of voices singing in a language that I didn't understand lifted up a melody that still moves me every time I hear it. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Jesus enters into that throbbing heart of human brokenness, the power of sin and the power of evil that grips each and every one of us in our lives in one way or another. And as he does that, he experiences the depth of human forsakenness as he calls out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And in the middle of that forsakenness, Jesus is bringing us home to God. Jesus heads to Jerusalem during that Passover meal when they remembered the Exodus and the lambs that were killed and the blood spread over the doorpost. And in the middle of that time, as Jesus himself goes the way of death, Jesus is becoming the once for all perfect sacrifice so that our sins might be washed away and we can stand spotless before a God who is holy. He was obtaining eternal redemption, as the writer to Hebrews says, so that we can be set free from the sins we've committed. He walks within the deep wounds we experience and we have caused by our sin-saturated lives and our words, and it is by his wounds that we are healed. Like a prisoner stepping into the dark dungeon, Jesus seems broken down and left to die, but in truth, by his death, he broke the power of death and the devil and freed those, like it says in Hebrews 2, who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. It's a jailbreak from the domain of darkness by the Prince of Light. Jesus is on the move. He faces the foe and he appears overcome, but instead, this is what's happening. Like it says in Colossians 2, he disarmed the powers and the authorities, making a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. He is the champion, my friends. And in the face of the rejection and the self-loathing that holds humanity in its grasp, he becomes the epicenter of the love of God touching humanity. For at just the right time, as Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. That's us. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Stepping within the brokenness, stepping within our real lives, our real world, Jesus does something for us that no one else can do. He heals us, he redeems us, he forgives us, he frees us, he wins the battle for us and gives us life. And under the pressure of the cross and in the hands of God, the deep veins of evil and brokenness that seem to course through the rock of human experience, God is turning those veins into the treasures of rich gold for his kingdom in the midst of our lives. It's rightly so that Jesus could cry out from the cross, which appears to be the depth of human brokenness and weakness. He could say, "It is finished." Not just his last breath, but the battle has been won. And so we, by faith, which is that active belief, the decision of the will to grab a hold of something as if it is the one handhold in life, by faith, we reach out to that broken Messiah who stands at the crossroads of human brokenness and the love of God. And we say, yes. Yes for humanity, Jesus. And yes for me, Jesus. In grasping him in his death by faith, the scriptures tell us we can know that we too will rise with him in victory over sin and death. That's what we celebrate on Good Friday. Jesus has won it. Broken though he is. So let's pause and consider Jesus.